we're discovering this month and how we can take God's word and make it my word. Taking God's word and making it my word. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles today to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be reading today out of the New Living Translation, NLT. If you're using your Bible app, the YouVersion Bible, you can go up to the top and switch to NLT so you can read along the same way. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin, and in the bulletin there are some message notes where you can follow along with today's sermon. There's some fill-in-the-blanks. The answers are going to be up on the screen, as well as scriptures that we're going to read today. If you did not receive a bulletin, if you just raise your hand right now, somebody will come and bring you one so you can follow along. We've been looking at Joshua for the last few weeks and seeing just this brief process of the transition of him becoming the leader after Moses died, the leader of this group of people. See, God started something amazing with Moses and said, I'm going to use you to lead my people out of slavery, out of Egypt, and you're going to go to the promised land. But the generation that came with Moses did not believe. They disobeyed, and God said, you guys are not going to make it. And God made it to where they wandered in the desert for 40 years until a whole generation passed away. And it came time for a new generation, and Moses died, and God spoke to Joshua and said, Joshua, you're now the guy. You're going to be in charge. And just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And God gives a word to Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 8. He gives him the key for how he's going to be successful as the leader. So we're looking at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says this, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for your word today. We pray that you would be with us the next few moments. We ask that you speak to both our hearts and our minds. Lord, that you would challenge us and that you would change us as we grasp a hold of your word and making it our word today. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Last week, we were trying to figure out how do we decide what God wants us to do. And in one of those steps, we identified something that we called analysis paralysis, meaning that we find out all the options and all the things, and because they're so overwhelming, we can't decide what are we going to do. But there's another type of paralysis that we can get when we're following after God, and this is one that I would call overwhelming paralysis. Meaning that it's too big of a problem. It's too big of a situation. It's too big. There's no way. And because in our minds it's too big, we freeze. We don't do anything. It feels like there's no solution. There's no answers. There's no possible success. I remember vividly a time when I was probably about fourth grade. And you know, what problems do fourth graders have? Homework. Homework that they got to do. I was a kid who waited to the last minute to do all my homework and procrastinated when it came to the big projects. And it's about in fourth grade when they start giving you the bigger projects that you really can't do overnight, that you got to spend a little bit extra time on this. And I remember that I was supposed to do several projects. They were all due. And I remember sitting at the dining room table with all my books and all my stuff laid out. And I just sat there and started sobbing. And my mom said, what is wrong, Ryan? I said, there's too much. There's too much. It's all due tomorrow. And I've calculated how many minutes it's going to take so I can get this all done. And I'm not going to get to sleep tonight. And yet what I didn't realize is that in all my calculations and all my figuring out and all my being overwhelmed and not doing any of my homework, I had wasted already a couple hours. Anyone relate to that? We waste time trying to figure out how we're not going to be able to do it. Yes. But my mom sat there in a chair next to me and she said, Ryan, what you are seeing here is a big mountain sitting on this table. And I'm like, yeah, it's a really big mountain. He said, Ryan, it may seem impossible to tear this mountain down, but it is possible if you do it one piece at a time. One piece at a time. She said, forget the whole thing. Just concentrate on one part of it, and you can do it. See, today we're talking about the Bible, God's Word, and how it can give you hope. God's Word can give you hope. 22 years ago, I left the military, left the Air Force, and God had given me a word. He said, Ryan, you're going to become a pastor. And that's the word I got. You're going to become a pastor. And I'm like, oh, great. What am I going to do now? See, I didn't know what it took to become a pastor. I didn't know what kind of education I'd have, what kind of experience I would have to have. And so I began doing research, and I talked to my pastor, and I said, so what do I got to do? He said, you got to do two things. You got to get an education, and you got to do an internship. So I began researching, where do you go to Bible school? And I just did something very easy. I just looked on a map and found the closest Bible school to where I was at, and that was going to be, I was living in California at the time, it was going to be in Sacramento. It was going to take 2 hours to get there. But I knew that that must be what I'm supposed to do next, that I got to go to Bible school. That's the closest one. I'm going to do that. Now, I also figured out that in order to get to Bible school, I was going to have a car to transport myself from the house to the school. And then I figured out in order to have a car and to be able to pay for gas it is and well to go to school, I'm going to need to have a job. And so I'm starting to back stuff up. And just like last week where we said, use the brains God gave you, I'm doing these steps and I'm trying to figure out, I'm like, okay, so it all starts. I can begin God's plan for my life, even though he hasn't laid out the steps, by getting a job. And so I began applying everywhere I could for a job. I had no idea where to go or what to do, but I knew I needed a paycheck. And I was willing to do anything. And I thought I was the best possible employee anybody could ever want. They just didn't know it yet. And apparently, they didn't want to find out yet either. Because I applied for job after job, application after application, and I wouldn't get a call. Nobody would call me. I mean, it's not like how Sun Prairie is, where they're begging for people to work now with signs ever offering bonuses and stuff. This was a different time, and they didn't need workers, and yet I needed a job in order to do what God called me to do. And I'm sitting and wallowing on a Saturday that I just spent 5 hours out looking for jobs, walking from business to business. Can I have an application? Can I have an application? Can I have an application? Filling it out, getting back to them. And I was discouraged. Sitting down. Because nothing was working out. I knew what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to become a pastor. I knew I had to go to school. I knew I needed a car. I knew I needed a job. And nobody would hire me. Nobody would even give me a call back. And I'm like, I don't get this. This doesn't make sense. See, God had called Joshua to be the new leader of Israel. He told him to study his word, to meditate it, to think on it day and night. And that if he obeyed it, that he'd be successful. And all he did, and if you were to continue to the next scripture from verse 8 to verse 9, God gave Joshua a promise and said, I will be with you. I will not forget about you. Be strong. Be courageous. And those were the instructions that Joshua was operating on, becoming the new leader, that he's supposed to lead the people to the new promised land. He's supposed to be figuring out what to do, that he's got to study the book of scripture. He's got to meditate. He's got to obey it. And he has a promise. And the promise is that he'll be successful in all that he does. And so Joshua was smart. He used the brains God gave him and realized if we're going to go to the promised land, we need to go to the promised land. And so he gathered all the people and said, let's go. Let's focus on the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to have them lead us. And they get to the edge, the border of the promised land. And there's something blocking their path. It's a river. And this river wasn't just any old river. This river was one that was in its flood stages. The Bible describes that this was harvest time, and so the river was higher than normal, had gone and overflowed on its banks. So the river was wider. Makes me think about that song, No River Wider. This river was wide. And here was the people of Israel with Joshua as their leader being faced with something impossible. God hadn't told him what to do about the river. All he knew was that we're supposed to be over there, and there's a river in between here and there. What are we supposed to do? Now, tell you what. Here's what we're supposed to do. You see, standing on the edge of your impossible is the perfect place to remember your my word from God. Standing on the edge of your impossible is the perfect place to remember your my word from God. Joshua had a word from God that said, I'm going to be with you. Be encouraged. I'm not going to forget about you. Study my word. Obey it. You're going to be successful. That was the word he had. You know, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says this. Such things were written in Scripture long ago to teach us. And the Scriptures give us hope and encourage us as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. If you have not picked a Scripture yet that you believe would be your my word, something that you can hold on to, here's a great place to start. Because it's saying that Scripture has been given to us to give us hope, to give us encouragement, that even though there are stories and history that's written into God's word, it is meant to be there for us. It says it right here. It was meant to teach us. But how is it teaching us? As we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. This past week, I was driving my youngest son to school, Radley. And Radley, he just has a way with words. And he says, Dad, after school today, will you be open? I'm like, open? He's like, are you open? Are you going to be open today? I'm like, what do you mean open? He's like, Dad, you know, like open, available. You know, I need you to help me with the game. And I loved how he kind of, you know, he treated me like I'm a store or something. You know, am I open? Will I have a time available in my schedule to help him with the game? And, you know, Radley was stuck, and he needed help, and he knew where to get help from, but he also knew where to ask, even though it was a weird ask. But he knew where to ask. And Josh remembered that as they were sitting on the shore of this river, with their promised land on the other side, their face with impossible, he remembered the promise that God had given him. That if you obey, if you study, if you are thinking about these things, you'll be successful in all you do. And this gave Josh hope. He didn't know how it was going to work out, but he knew this was a word that he had from God. And this is why it's so important to open up our Bibles, to open up our Bible app, to read, because God will speak to you. God will show you what is meant for you. Not just something that's meant for somebody else. And it's something that you can hold on to that can give you hope, that can give you encouragement as you're waiting. And so this remembering helped Joshua as he's there. And he talks to all the people and he gives them instructions to say, you guys, you need to recognize that God is in this. You need to sanctify yourselves. You need to prepare because tomorrow God's going to do something amazing. Now, Josh had no idea if God was going to do something amazing, but he did know that God had given him a promise. God had called him to go to the other side. He knew there was a river in front of him. He knew there was something impossible. But Joshua also knew that God knew there was a river in front of them, that God knew that there was an impossible for them. So what are you facing? What river is in front of you that is your impossible today? It seems like as we go from our life from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, there's always something that becomes the new, what is this? How are we going to work through this? And how am I going to get from here to there? I know I'm supposed to be over there, but how do I do it? And when we're faced with our impossible, it can discourage us. It can depress us. It's because when we're standing there, it's not really the time to be worrying about if God's big enough. It's actually the perfect time to remembering God's word for us, to be encouraged, to have hope. Doesn't mean you know how you're going to get to the other there, but it's recognizing that you know the person who can do anything that can get you from here to there, and that he's got you, that the same promise that is for Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 is for you, that I will not leave you. Be strong, be courageous. I will not forget about you. God hasn't forgotten about you. So maybe today is a day you need to declare, just like Joshua declared. He said, people, get ready. God's about to do something amazing. And maybe that's what you got to start saying to yourself and those around you. You need to say, get ready, because God's about to do something amazing. As they stood there on the shore, the Bible says God spoke to Josh again. And he gave him instructions. He said, have the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, have them step into the water and stop. God gave Josh some very specific instructions. These were not instructions on how to get across. He just said, here's your next. Here's the next thing that I need for you to do. That Saturday night that I was sitting at a table overwhelmed with the impossible of how am I going to do what God's called me to do to become a pastor if I can't get to Bible school because I don't have a car, because I don't have any money, because I don't have a job and nobody would call me back. And in that moment, I prayed and asked God. I said, God, I need you to give me direction. God, I need to know what the next thing is. I don't understand why this isn't working out, but I do know and recognize that you called me to be over there. I know I'm supposed to be here. No matter how many walls and barriers have popped up and problems or situations or opportunities, it hasn't taken away the fact that you called me to be over there. And I can't even describe how it happens, but all of a sudden I had this idea, this thought, and I believe it came from God. And I believe that God spoke to me even in that moment, and I can't say whether it was a audible voice that you're hearing, like my voice right now, but I knew that God was saying a message to me, and he said, you're going to the wrong school. And all of a sudden I had this idea that you need to be going to the school that's halfway across the country in Texas. I'm like, what? That seems like the river just like tripled in width here. I'm like, really, God? Okay, I can't even get to the school. It's 2 hours away. Do you want me to go to the school that's like 4 hours flying away? I went to bed that night like, what in the world? Here I'm looking for help, and God didn't give me help to get to the other side. He just told me my next step. Just the next step. Just like Joshua, he didn't say how the people were going to get to the other side, but here's just the next step. The priests need to take the Ark of the Covenant and step into the water and stop. Which brings us to the second thing that we should be doing as we're trying to follow after God, and that's this. You need to do what God tells you to do. Do what God tells you to do. Action is required. Forward momentum is required. And I don't know about you, but I see that there's a theme happening here at Focus Church that constantly we're being bombarded with this idea that the Bible and following after Jesus is not something that's just about knowledge, but it's even more so about action, that you've got to do something. That our purpose here is not to soak up as much knowledge as we can about God before we even do anything. But that as we get knowledge or as we get direction, that we should take a step and do something and then watch what God does. And here in this instance, Joshua was given just the next step. Get the Ark of the Covenant, get the priests, get them to step into the water, get their sandals wet, and stop. God gave me my next step. And I didn't know what to do with it, because I'm like, this is like more impossible. But the next day, I went to church, and I found that going to church that day was really difficult. You see, actually somebody here even this morning talked about this. They kind of recognized that, you know what, when I'm supposed to be at church, that's when I feel like the enemy tries harder to keep me from coming. that there'll be something that comes up and it'd be real easy to decide, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to. You see, I think what the enemy knows is something we don't quite realize all the time, is that it's here that we can grow. It's here that we can be encouraged. It's here that we can have hope as we together collectively focus on God's word. And that day, 22 years ago, it was hard to get to church. Transportation didn't work. My mom got sick, but I knew I was supposed to be there. I got to church late. And we were doing the singing thing, and the pastor stopped the service, and he said, you know what? I feel like we're supposed to pray right now, that if anybody who needs prayer, you need to come up to me and let me pray for you, because God wants to help you with your situation. And so he instructed the band to keep on singing and to keep on playing, and people came up and got prayer with the pastor. The pastor prayed with them. And the pastor finished praying with everybody who had lined up, and the song was done, and the pastor said, wait, hold on, guys, everyone hold on. I don't understand what's really happening here, but I believe that God wants me to pray with somebody here, that you need to have prayer. You need to come. If God's telling you that you need to come down here for prayer, you need to do it right now. Now, I was really beginning to wonder what's happening, because I was feeling this pull that I was supposed to go talk to my pastor and have him pray for me, but I didn't know what to ask him for. And so I had kind of this catch-22 of, I think I'm supposed to go up, but I don't know what I'm going to tell him. And here he is, he's stopping the service a second time and saying, if God's telling you to get up here and pray with me, come down here and pray with me. And so I'm like, okay, I catch a clue here. And so I got out of my seat. I came down for it. I talked to the pastor. He's like, okay, Ryan, what can I pray with you today? And I have no clue. I don't know. I said, Pastor, you said if God's telling you to come down here and get prayed for, that you should obey. And I said, I'm just obeying. I have no idea what I'm supposed to get prayed for. He's like, you know what? That's awesome, Ryan, because God's going to take your steps that you've taken of obedience, and let's just see what happens. And so my pastor prayed for me and began praying. And he's like, you know, God bless him and God give him direction and give him wisdom, whatever he's going through in life. And then all of a sudden the pastor stopped. And he's like, Ryan, I think God has a message for you. I'm like, okay, cool. And he says, but I don't understand it, because I believe that God has a message for you, and he's saying, I've already told you what to do. Now go do it. This is how I find God just walking in my life. You know, every word I get from God is sassy. He's saying, I've already told you what to do. Now go do it. And I knew exactly what that message meant. That he had told me the night before, my impossible just got four times wider. I'm supposed to go to a Bible school in Texas. And that was my path to becoming a pastor. You see, when God gives us a word and God gives us a direction, and even if it's just a little tiny step, he's saying, are you just going to come forward just a little bit? Will you just take that first step? And it reminds me when you have children and they're little babies and you're excited that, you know what, any day now they're going to start walking. And, you know, they show the signs that they're going to start walking because they start getting up. They start pulling themselves up to things. They start using coffee tables and couches to make their way around. And they're kind of tempted to take that step out. And are they going to do it? Can anyone relate? You've seen a kid or had a kid that you've seen trying to take that first step. And as a parent, you're watching that child and you're like, oh, you can do it. Because we know, hey, this is the natural thing that's going to happen, is that kids are going to start walking, they're going to start running, and then we can't keep track of them. But then a little baby is trying to figure out, am I going to take that first step? I'm standing up by myself and kind of shaky on my legs. And you know what? As a parent, we want them to take that first step. But are we holding them? No. But are we there for them? Yes. And are we ready to catch them? Yes. And I think that's the same way that God is. When he's looking at us and he's saying, you know what? you can take steps of faith. You can trust me. This is what you were designed to do. It's to step out and do amazing things for me. I promise you're going to be successful in what you do as you step out to the promise that I've given you that's on the other side of your impossible. But you got to take the first step. And he's not holding our hand, but he's saying, hey, I'm right here. I got you. You can do this. But you got to take the step yourself. Take action. But when you take that action, you need to allow room for God to do a miracle. When you take that action, allow room for God to do a miracle. Here's the best thing about God, that he can do anything, and that our impossible is nothing to him. So one time a little girl was talking to God, and she asked him, God, is a second to me like a million years to you? And God's like, yes it is. A second is like a million years, and a million years is like a second. This girl's trying to comprehend how God thinks. So she asked God, God, is like a penny like $1 million to you, and $1 million like a penny to you? And God's like, yes, that's true. One penny is like $1 million, $1 million is like a penny. And so this girl thought, and she said, okay, God, can I have a penny? To which God replied, just hold on a second. We're trying to comprehend how God works. And he's trying to say, I can't do it for you, but I'm there for you. I will guide you and I will direct you. And we serve a God who can do anything. That what we see as impossible in front of us, whatever we're facing at this moment in time, God sees it as just a little bump, that it's nothing. He's like, I got this. You don't even recognize this yet. You don't even trust me yet, but I got this. And Joshua, he instructed the priests, okay, you're going to take that Ark of the Covenant and you're going to take a step and you're all going to get your sandals wet and you're going to stop and you're not going to go any further into this overwhelming flooded river. And the Bible says immediately when they stepped their feet into that river that the waters started receding and going back up the river all the way to a town called Adam, which I never knew there was a town called Adam. You got to look it up in your Bible. All the way to Adam, spread it out to where the river completely dried up. And the priest moved a little bit more forward to the middle of the river. And the Bible describes that they were standing on dry ground in the middle of this river. And Joshua said, okay, guys, we're going to the other side. And every one of them, millions of people, crossed the river without getting a drop of water on them. This was a miracle from God. And God spoke to Joshua and said, there are going to be people who are going to be afraid of you guys because they're going to recognize that you've got help, that you're not just going to do this conquering thing on your own, that you're not just going to claim this promised thing on your own, but you've got help. And you've got help that comes through in amazing, miraculous ways. No one could explain how the river backed up, how they all crossed over on dry land. And God described all the people, tribes of people and countries of people that were going to be afraid of the Israelites because God was on their side. I knew I was supposed to go to Bible school in Texas. And God didn't pick any old Bible school. He picked the most expensive one. And I didn't know how I was going to pay for it because I was a poor person coming out of the military. But I tell you what, you know, I got that word from God on that Sunday at church where God said, I already told you what to do, now go do it. And when I got home, my mom said, you'll never believe this, Ryan, but our answer machine is blowing up with calls of people who want to hire you. I had a job interview in the next 30 minutes after I got home from church. I had a job by that evening, and it was on my way, all because I made a mental switch of saying, I'm following after God, and he's saying the next step is go here, even no matter how impossible it was, I'm supposed to go to Southwestern in Texas. And it was time for me to get to school and school was going to be starting. And I sat down with my mom and dad and said, okay, mom and dad, how are we going to do this? How are we going to pay? It costs a lot of money. And mom and dad said, sorry, son, we don't have anything for you. They're like, you need to pray about this. I'm like, oh, yay. Another impossible, another river had been presented. And what was going to be my step? And what was it going to be? What was going to be God's leading? And let me just fast forward to the end. God provided that a week before I was supposed to go to Texas, I had enough money to start the first day of school. Exactly enough money to start the first day of school. And when the next payment was due in the next 2 months, I had exactly the right money to do that. And God provided every step of the way. And now 22 years later, here I am, I'm a pastor. I am on the other side of God's promise of where he wanted me to be. We read in Romans that God's word gives us hope. When we are patiently waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled, that his scriptures give us hope and they give us encouragement. And it helps us to trust that we follow a God who's not setting us up to fail, who's not setting us up to be demolished or to be thrown into the river and washed away. That was never God's intention. And maybe today is the day that you stop being paralyzed by the mountain, by the overwhelmingness, whatever it is that's in front of you. But you believe that God has been directing me, he's been telling me. And maybe today the word for you from God is, I've already told you what to do, and now you need to do it. And this is how we take God's word and make it my word. It's so important to find scripture that speaks to you, to not borrow off of someone else, but as we're reading God's word, and we've been talking about this all month, that we've got to start reading God's word. We've got to open our Bibles. We've got to open our app. We've got to pick a Bible plan. We've got to read. But more importantly, we're not just reading to accomplish reading. We're not trying to accomplish a checklist that, oh, I got it done, and in order to be a good Jesus follower, I got to be opening my Bible every day and doing my devotional. That's not what we're saying. We're saying God has instructions and a plan for you, and he's already given you his word. And we just read today that there's a purpose to even stories that are really old, like Joshua, that there's instructions that can help us, that can give us hope, that can give us encouragement as we wait for God's promises to be fulfilled. But we said, as we read, you need to pray and talk to God first. Say, God, I'm about to read your word. Help me to understand. Help me to grab my word out of what I'm about to read. We're going to hear for the next few moments from two of our leaders of our church as they share their my word. A point in life where God's given them a scripture, and it's a scripture that they've been able to hold on to. Just like Joshua held on to his word as he faced his impossible, we're going to hear from both Morgan and from Levi today. And so, Morgan, why don't you come up and you'll be the first person today. Let's give a hand to Morgan, our worship leader.
Hi, guys. So I'm going to read from Matthew 6, starting verse 25. I think it'll be up there. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And this is just a verse, a passage that has kind of always stuck with me my whole life. And the reason why I love it is because it's all about where you put your confidence. Where is your confidence? It talks about worrying, but really it's talking about where is your confidence. And my parents planted a church in a small town in northern Minnesota when I was 9, and we were there till I graduated. They actually just left this year. So they've been there for a long time. And if you know anything about planting a church, God gave us a lot of opportunities to either choose worry or to choose confidence in him. And I was able to watch my parents as they made that choice. And they chose to have confidence in him even when things didn't add up and when things didn't make sense. And that's really where I started to learn that worry is pointless. It really is pointless. And now I'm a parent, and I have the choice is the same, to worry or have confidence in God. And except I'm not just choosing for myself, I'm choosing for my family, for my kids. And I know there's like a million reasons, and I can think of a million reasons to worry, and I'm sure you can too. But that's why I love that very last verse that I read. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And in the NLT version says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? We often worry and fear things that are going to take away from our time in this life. But God is saying, Jesus is saying in this verse, no, it's not about all those things. But you not only lose the time you spend worrying, but it adds nothing to your life. But you have everything to gain if you put your confidence in him. So now sometimes when you ask God to help you not worry, he gives you those opportunities, unfortunately. And we've been on just a journey, you know, being Chi Alpha missionaries, and he's put that to the test many times. And just these past few weeks, there came a point where our money had run out. Our check wasn't going to come for another week. I had to get to Chicago and back. Levi had to get to Indiana and back. And we're like, man, how's this going to happen? But God came through. Some cool stories for how God came through in that situation. But then, so we get back in town, and there's no food in our house. And so I'm like, our check finally came. It was in our bank. We're like, I need to go get groceries. So I take all the three kids, to Target to get our groceries. And we go through, it's always a long process, obviously, with three kids and getting groceries. And we get to the checkout. I do self-checkout. I get them all the groceries in bags, and then I click to pay. Open up my wallet, and I don't have a card. We have one debit card between us and a red card. And I had given Levi both of them on Monday to pay for Chi Alpha stuff. So I'm here with three kids and all my groceries checked out, but no way to pay. I look at my checkbook. I had just used my last check last week. So I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, like I really don't want to put all these back. We need food. I do not want to come do this trip again. And the lady comes over, she's helping me. I was like, I don't have a way to pay for this. And she's like, oh, well, is there, maybe, can he send you the numbers? And so I'm like, yeah, let's do that. She's like, we can key it in. So I call Levi. And as I'm calling, take out my phone to call Levi, I look, there's like this weird text message that came through on my phone. I'm like, oh, that's weird. But I'm like, I don't need to worry about that right now. I need to call Levi. And so I call Levi, and he's like, okay, yeah. And he's just going into a meeting about prayer and fasting. He's like, just before this meeting. And he's like, yeah, I can send it. I'll send you the number. So he takes pictures of it, sends them to me. So we try keying it in multiple times. Doesn't work. So she's like, well, go to the customer service. They'll help you. We've already been here for like 20 minutes trying to check out. My kids are going crazy. They're like, let's go, Mom. And so we pack up all the stuff, move it over to the customer service desk. And the guy is like, yeah, we can't do that. We can't just key in the numbers. And I'm like, okay. So as he's like, let's try it once just to see. So as he's doing that, I'm like reminded of this weird text on my phone. So I go back and I look at my phone. I'm like, what is this? And it's like, hi, Morgan, Rachel sent you this. And I'm like, what? Okay, so then I look at another text message that I got from a person who lives out of town, and she texts me and she said, hey, you're gonna get a really weird text. I had a dream last night that I was with you at Target with your kids, and I just had to send you this. And I look at this text, and it's a gift card. And I click in it, and I said, does this work? And he said, yeah. And it may seem small, the amount of money doesn't matter. But in that moment, I know God was saying, I see you. I know exactly what you need in that time. And I will provide for you. And just like Pastor Ryan was saying, he was just saying, if you just keep taking that step, take that step, and I've got you. I've got it taken care of. So don't worry. He's got it. You can have confidence in him and what he's calling you to do.
Cool. My name is Levi. We're married, if you didn't know. My verse is John 10:10, and it is, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And this has kind of been my verse throughout all of my life. And so a lot of my upbringing, I did not choose Jesus. I didn't really know him, didn't really understand him. And but grew up with parents who really loved Jesus and knew him. And so what I love about this verse is it really just gives kind of two options. And I think sometimes a lot of us, we try to find that middle area, that gray area. And I think a lot of life can be a lot more polarizing than we realize. And I think for me growing up, I had like what everybody appeared was like that full life by the world standards. And I found it very empty. And I found that it came and it took more than I wanted to give. And it killed and destroyed a lot of things in my life that I hoped it hadn't. And when I really encountered Christ, I love the language. It says that you may have life and have it to the full. And I'm going to read the Message version as well. It says, a thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And I feel like that's my life. I feel constantly like, man, this life that I get to live is the life that I've always dreamed of. And even if you would have told me, if you would have told like 17, 18-year-old version of Levi that like, hey, I'd be happily married, have three beautiful kids, and I would get to do the job that I... If you would have told me I was a pastor at that stage, I would have been like, you don't know me very well. But one of the things that always seemed disconnecting for me about Christianity is that so many people in Christianity seem so sad all the time, like somebody kicked their puppy or something. And I was always... You know, like I looked at some of what the world had to offer, and it seemed fuller. It seemed better. It seemed like a better option. And so I was always like, well, why would I do that? You know, and again, I think Pastor Ryan nailed it this morning. If Christianity is just about, hey, making sure I show up on time on a Sunday morning, like it's going to get kind of boring. Christianity gets really exciting the more you do and the more you welcome that challenge of living this out. And so, yeah, just like Morgan's kind of sharing for us, it's, man, we love our life, and it's crazy, and it doesn't make sense sometimes, but I think that for us it's become this life I never even dreamed was possible for me, that I never really thought I could have. And so now when I sit down with college students who are giving their heart to the Lord, one of the first questions I'll ask them is, how have you enjoyed God this week? And for me, it's a huge way to assess, like, do you actually have real relationship? Like, do you have dynamics of a relationship with God? Do you enjoy him, or are you just trying to do tasks for him? And, you know, even with some of what Morgan is sharing, you know, now we get to that, you know, we've had times where we get to that point and the money's all gone, and we just kind of shrug our shoulders and we're like, hey, well, it's going to be a fun adventure to see how God provides. And what's great is, each and every single time he does that. And so, we were just chased after this idea, well, what does it mean to have a full life? And it doesn't mean that I necessarily get paid extravagantly or anything like that, but it means there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of peace, and all those biblical principles really come to life.